This is RSVNB Update, episode 508, recorded Friday, March 13th, 2015. They licked my butterfly. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for RSVNB Update. Earth and myself are here this week for...
Help. Send help.
What do we need help?
What?
Why do we need help?
I didn't say anything.
You said send help.
I did not say that.
I'm pretty sure
you are putting words in my mouth.
Oh, well, I mean, maybe this week is a good week for putting words in your mouth, then, with Boss Practice Mode. Because... if I put these words in your mouth, you'll have to just go along with what I say, because you've never killed the Queen Black Dragon before.
That was an interesting transition. I will give you that.
Indeed. So, Boss Practice Mode, did you take a run through anything interesting, scary, that you normally wouldn't?
I went to the QBD and did that.
Were you successful?
No.
Oh. Well,
But it was helpful, because it has... once again affirmed that I am still terrible at combat.
Yeah, and I mean, the QBD is a great NPC to start bossing with, and it's the perfect thing to play with on Boss Practice Mode. You only need level 60 summoning to access it, and Song from the Deeps, or Song from the Depths, I believe it's called. Which you
reduces
wanna...
damage.
Yeah, so it's a quest-related NPC at that. And this week we actually also put out a video, which you guys can find on the RSBNB YouTube channel at youtube.com/RSBNBstaff. I didn't intend to get into this.
All talking again?
No, it's me. It's me.
Do we have another one of him talking a lot this week, though?
Yes, we do. there's a video there teaching you how to do the Queen Black Dragon with melee gear.
Why didn't you show me that?
I wanted you to experience it for yourself and see if you could figure it out.
I feel hurt. I'm very hurt.
I gave you hints. I gave you a hint of dual wielding and super anti-fire.
And it was wrong.
Really?
Yes.
Why? What happened?
I died on the first stage dual wielding, and when I got my Sirik Domin God Sword, everything was fine.
And how far did you make it with that?
Third stage.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Were you using thresholds for damage and basics to build adrenaline?
I was clicking on things and things were happening.
Ah, yeah, pretty much just like Star Trek Online, right?
Oh, yes, just like that. Except I have even less idea of what's going on here because I can't see anything unless it's... like, I don't know what anything does unless I hover over it, but the action bar has to be unlocked for me to do that, and if I do that... and then I click on something and my mouse moves, even just a pixel, then it doesn't activate.
Ah, I see. Well, yeah, that's pretty odd that happens like that. But I hope that you're able to at least at some point in the future maybe give it another go, because the Queen Black Dragon is one of the best moneymakers out there. I just sent you a link on Skype if you want to look at this while we're talking as to... a decent way of doing it at level 70 with 70 gear. But Boss Practice Mode did come out this week. The core outline of this is that you can fight NPCs. When you die, you don't lose anything. Your familiar survives. The only thing you need to spend on is your food and potions and whatnot. So it's a perfect way of learning how to kill things.
I'm still terrible at combat, but it was very helpful.
Yeah. And...
because otherwise I would have died and lost stuff, probably.
Exactly.
This way I get to be terrible at combat and not die.
And if you're using Barrow's armor, you would need to be paying for the repair costs with that, which can add up quite quickly if you're dying every run. But
oh, right. That's what you mean. Okay, yes.
I mean about... what?
I thought you meant in practice mode, and I was like, but 16 hours of combat? Is it 16?
15.
15, same thing.
Yeah. But anyways, you know, there's some talk when practice mode came out that people thought, you know, this would be making things too easy in a way. But remember, you don't get any rewards from doing practice mode. And as it stands right now, and as has been
the case...
But
you get the satisfaction of knowing you... Oh, stop. I'm just going to stop.
Oh, I was going to say that's a good thing. Satisfaction of knowing you can kill it without actually getting a reward.
I was going to say the satisfaction of knowing that you can kill it.
Yeah.
But
And you know, that's entirely right. True. I completely agree with you on that front. And to those high-level PVM critters out there who say, oh, we don't need boss practice mode, bossing is good
critters?
As it is. Critters? Well, critters, people who like to think they know something, but in reality, you know.
Oh, so they're critters because they aren't. They think they're people.
Yes. Basically, I'm talking about the elitists of PVM who just want to hoard everything to themselves in order to, you know, bring in the huge amount of profits that ultimately do come in from PVM. Since, as we know, PVM, whether it be the God Wars Dungeon or the Queen Black Dragon, is one of the best sources of money-making in RS.
Yeah, I guess I can attest to that, because
yeah.
I do a lot of Slayer. I have no idea how money keeps appearing in my bank, but it does.
Mm-hmm. And I'll point you guys again, youtube.com/rsbmbstaff. Everything is there to get you started with the Queen Black Dragon. Equipment loadouts, inventory loadouts, action bar, quick prayers, everything like that. It's all
thank you for that helpful information. That would have been helpful when I was checking this update out.
Well, I just wanted you to fall on your face.
And now our listeners are more informed than I was when they check out this update. So, yay!
I was under the impression you wanted to learn as you went along.
Okay.
Okay. That's why I didn't tell you. I would have told you if you wanted to know more.
Well, I guess it's okay, because if I died, then I wouldn't actually die, so everything would be fine, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, classic Shane.
All right. But as for my self-enrichment with the practice program, that's, I guess, what if Jagex were spinning this in a positive way, is you can enrich yourself with our boss practice program.
If they were to spin it in a positive way, what are they spinning it in now?
They're not spinning it in any way.
Oh.
They just put the update out.
Okay.
Yeah, but anyways, the boss practice program, and I enriched myself with it by attempting to take down Araxor. That thing is... If you are short on money, you probably don't want to go fight that, because it's one overload flask, maybe half an overload flask per run if you're slow, and tons of Ceridoman brews and rocktails, and you're not exactly going to be guaranteed to making money from Araxor as you do with the Queen Black Dragon, especially if you're in practice mode since you get nothing. So... I just did this because I wasn't able to kill Araxor when it first came out. I made it to the final stage, and for some odd reason, at the end of the fight, Araxor would not take any damage, so I need to look into that. And maybe when I have some more money, I will give another go.
Woo!
But, yeah, so boss practice mode, pretty nice, I think. It's kind of like the holodeck simulation is trying to figure out the best way of doing something. The only thing we need now, I think, is an in-game DPS counter. Or a way to count DPS outside of
the game. Oh, please stop. Please stop.
What?
No.
I would really like a DPS counter for RS. I really would.
Why?
Why not?
Why?
Just to know how well I'm doing compared to everyone else and whether my loadout is good.
Everything doesn't have to be a competition, though.
I'm not saying it does. It's just a good benchmark.
But you know, said you wanted to do better than other people.
Well, not necessarily. I just want to know if I'm able to carry the boss or carry whatever with an acceptable level. That's all. All right. So in addition to boss practice mode this week, which I think is universally a good thing, we do have...
Yeah, 5 out of 5 on that.
Okay, there you go. We do have a UI update for the instancing, so they're all the same now. Easy checkbox if it's practice mode or whatever. Or you can set combat levels, the amount of people coming in, free-for-all team, that sort of thing, depending on the boss. So this is a much nicer thing to see that it's consistent across all bossing encounters. And while we're talking about this, I'll actually say...
If you go to the God Wars dungeon, do you still have to get the 40 kill count to do all of that?
That's a good question. I didn't go test that.
Because now for the Queen Black Dragon, you have to go down there and click on the door. I was really hoping there could be... there's like an interface I went into, and it's like, hey, I'd like to do practice mode with this. But yes. I guess that could be used for like teleporting places.
Yeah.
And that would be bad.
And there's also something I forgot to say here. If you're doing Queen Black Dragon or Araxor, you need to go through the full UI, because if you're at the Queen Black Dragon, you use the agility shortcut to get directly into the boss fight, you will be in a real fight, and you might not be able to teleport out if you didn't bring a teleport. So just keep that in mind to go through the full dialogue.
Yeah. Thankfully, I keep all of those warnings on.
Good. Another thing that I did not mention earlier with our boss practice mode discussion was that you don't have to pay the instance costs for practice mode, which is nice.
Oh, yeah, that is nice, too.
Because a Virago instance is 1 million GP.
How much are, like, God Wars Dungeons ones? 200k, right?
Yes. Whereas Araxor is 200k as well, so you could definitely save money if you're just messing around in there. Anyways, that's pretty much it for this week's update. A welcome update on the bossing front, and it'll hopefully enable many people to...
Maybe one day I'll solo bosses.
But not today. Yes.
That is correct.
Well, maybe you will after the video, and if I was to give you a potion stock or something for the Queen Black Dragon.
Free stuff, please. Well, I guess it's not the Earth 27172 donation fund. It's the Lord Earth donation fund is always open for.
Hey, you're like Lord Rickles now.
I'm still better. Sorry, Rickles, but...
Yeah, he kind of sounds
like...
You
have to face the facts.
He kind of sounds like
Rickles.
You
almost sounds like a disease, yeah. But
anyways.
Earth, I'm a planet. I'm a planet, you're a disease. I win this one. Maybe next time.
All right, tweaks and fixes. Countdown to the D&Ds, marked as favorite, and to daily, weekly, and monthly... resets, in addition to upcoming JMOD events, can now be displayed on the in-game clock.
Yeah, excuse me. Yeah, I noticed that in the updates, and even though when I logged in, I was like, hey, look, a clock. How do I turn it off? I still think that would be useful, and I may re-enable the clock for that reason. So... Good job, Jagex.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely nice seeing when the resets are there without going into the Adventures tab. And, you know, JMOD events. There was a poll a while back asking why people don't come to JMOD events. And I partially think this is the reason we're seeing this update. I'm not saying there's anything bad about this, but Jagex is, you know, going in the right direction of promoting and... distributing information pertaining to their events, which if they were...
Oh, was it because people didn't know when they were?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
And, I mean, people are just so focused on training, right, that they're not likely to go look on a forum post or wherever for it. So, come to events, people. Lots of people like it when they come to events, even certain fan sites, right?
Hey, that's my job. I run events here.
Well, I'm just casting out the line and waiting for a bite, but...
You're really good at those transitions.
Oh, yeah.
With those plugs.
I got more coming.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. All right. Well, I'm glad, you know, as I said, JX is essentially coming to realize Propaganda 101 here, so that's good.
Classic Shane.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Propaganda.
Like, if they wanted to make their updates work better and have the community feel better about them, they need to spin them in a positive light. You can't just put them out there and expect people to take them at face value when there's a known contingent of the RS community who will hate everything you put out. So there needs to be a counter-argument to this, in much the same way there's counter-arguments to everything that goes on in the world. And I'm going to stop right here.
Thank you.
A couple of last month's small Rune Labs ideas have been incorporated into Ninja Fixes. Specifically, Quick Chat can now show Slayer and Boss kill counts in the combat category.
Yeah, when did that start? Because... it says that I've killed one King Black Dragon, and didn't we do King Black Dragon events back in the day?
Yeah, we did. I believe this started in either September or October of last year.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's disappointing. Jagex, why didn't you keep track of all my kills before that?
So...
not really.
Yeah, but this brings up an interesting question. Where... I assume you just went into the Quick Chat and saw this, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you didn't go to Death or anything like that.
What?
You didn't go to Death? You know Death?
I don't understand.
Death, the guy for Missing Presumed Death, south of Drainer Village?
Yes.
Or north of Drainer Village? He has a little thing there for Boss Slayer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But anyways...
oh, and that's where you could get the kill counts before?
I think so, yes. And
oh, okay.
This leads me to another question that Paul was asking me, and I want to know this too. Anybody out there, if you know this, please do reply in the show or contact one of us on RS. But is there a way to see your record kill time for a certain NPC? Because, you know, we have the time it takes to kill a boss now, and it flashes new record if you make a new record. So it'd be nice to be able to see these without actually going to go fight a boss. So if anyone knows, please do let me know.
I'm asking my clan right now. If anyone knows, hopefully one of them will know.
I did not know questers killed things.
Yep, we have a bossing arm.
Oh, good. Anyways, chances of receiving Gemstone Kasiki and Tengu Suba voyages have been improved in player-owned ports.
Did you just speak real words?
Yes, I did. That was the Gemstone Kasiki and the Tengu Suba.
Okay.
Yes. Which are the two things needed to make the level 85 wands and level 85 longswords from player-owned ports? And as we were talking about 2 weeks ago pertaining to the quest, icons in Elemental Workshop 4 Pillar Puzzle have been reworked to make the icons more easily distinguishable to assist colorblind players.
Oh, so God, I can't even imagine doing that quest. Colorblind is difficult enough.
Yeah. And
about time.
I really like the Elemental Workshop series. I really do.
Masochist.
Well, at least it's not my supported idea for March in Rune Labs. That's in the top five.
Ugh.
Anyways, anything from the patch notes jump out at you this week?
No. Patch notes.
I guess not. All right. 6, 7,
yeah.
8, 9.
It's not really much.
Elemental Workshop counting. 5 is number 9 on the Rune Labs thing for this month. Anyways, We won't talk about
these
that.
These assholes. They killed my butterfly.
What are you fighting
trying
now?
Trying to heal mutated blood belts.
Oh, okay.
Trying to heal, and then they just lick my butterfly, and it dies. Please don't do that.
I'm sorry. Sorry for anyone who that scared, but that's just kind of it's just the kind of thing blood belts do, right?
Bloodveld's gonna lick your butterflies.
I guess that kind of makes him like a lick-a-tongue kind of NPC, right?
A what?
A lick-a-tongue. Remember that Pokemon?
I never played Pokemon, remember?
Oh, okay, right. All right. Sorry. Anyways, on to Treasure Hunters. Another thing that needs to be spun positively. Rares and Lucky Refresh. So basically what's going on with the rare items is that rather than getting a rare item now, you're getting rare tokens. Then you can spend these tokens on any rare items that you want. And there's a whole bunch of rare items listed here that are on their last chance. And some new ones, too, like sunglasses. I wouldn't mind getting some sunglasses.
Mm. Yeah, are those the... I got like 10 lucky tokens on logging in.
Yeah, everyone got that.
Oh, I'm not special.
Mm-mm. Not in that regard. But
I thought I was special.
You know, I honestly think this is a better way of dealing with rares, because there's so many rares out there, the chances of you getting the one you want is so small. So
explain how this works exactly.
Well, previously, if you know, you would get, say, the legendary horns, for example, one of the items that's being discontinued. You would just get that item and you would either have a cash out option of, I think, since it was pretty rare, something like 1,000,000 GP, or you could take the item. Now you're going to get a certain amount of tokens rather than getting the item, and you can spend the tokens on whatever you want.
Can I convert things that I already have to these tokens?
I would assume not.
Damn.
I know, I got some silly tattoo thing back in the day when it was Wheel of Fortune that, I mean...
I got a lucky dragon two-handed sword, and I can't even alk it.
Yeah, that's not even a rare item. That's a lucky item.
Yeah, but it was worth 1,000,000.
Really?
Yes. I should have chose cash out.
Yeah, I got a Bandos plate skirt, a lucky Bandos plate skirt for 2,000,000 once, and I cashed it out.
What? Yeah. Well, I guess you couldn't just give that to me.
And I prefer tank armor over power armor. And
prefer tank armor over power armor.
Do you want to explain that voice that you do? Because you've done that 2 weeks in a row now.
No.
All right.
I don't think it deserves... I don't think it needs explanation.
All right,
it might deserve it, but it's not going to get that.
Well, we'll save that for someday in the future then.
Maybe.
Now, here's new lucky items that everybody... you know, universally seems to see as a bad idea. And it's really just a knee-jerk reaction, in my opinion. Because if we were truly concerned about giving out chaotic rapiers and chaotic claws on Treasure Hunter, well, two things about this. One, as I said with the previous things, getting a lucky item, there's so many lucky items you get, you're going to be hard-pressed to find the one you want. And two, if somebody wants to and they want to get a powerful weapon, all they need to do is really just, you know, dump money into Treasure Hunter, cash out, or wait till they get the 200,000,000 GP and buy a set of Drygors. Level 90 weaponry, best melee weapons in the game. So,
They're giving out lucky Drygors?
No, lucky Chaotix.
Aww.
Lucky Chaotix.
Oh, just Chaotix? Those are the Dungeoneering things, right?
Yes.
Oh.
And you still need 80 Dungeoneering to use them, so it's not like, you know,
So you could have bought them anyway.
But they're rare. I mean, how are you going to know if you're going to get a lucky rapier or a lucky dragon sword, you know?
Eh.
So that's, in my view, how this balances out. And, I mean, Dungeoneering's been out since 2010, so I think by this point, anybody who wants a chaotic rapier is going to have a chaotic rapier from Dungeoneering.
I mean, I guess I might like one, but...
There's better options. I mean, you can just drill down in ports and get the level 85 stuff eventually there. That's going to be better.
It's going to take even longer.
Well, yeah, but they did make that a bit faster in this week's patch notes, as I mentioned, but...
Oh, good.
Yeah, that was the Gemstone Kaseki and the Tengu Tsuba.
What?
That was the Gemstone Kaseki.
Stop speaking gibberish.
Well, those are
it's
real
hard
weeks.
Enough to deal with your typing.
Okay. Well, with that being said, don't freak out about these. Just remember that if there are people out there who want to use Treasure Hunter to get powerful weapons, all they need to do is dump a ton of money into it to the point where they have probably 50 million GP and then just go buy Drygors off the GE. So, if people want it, they're going to find a way to do it. And if you're complaining about lucky items on Treasure Hunter, you should be complaining about Treasure Hunter as a whole and giving out GP
I think
and all
they
that
are.
Kind of stuff. Well, like I said, could have been spun better by Jagex.
Ha! Spun.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Squeal of Fortune.
Oh, yes, except it's not called that anymore.
Ha!
I guess you could say... No, I won't make that... I won't
please,
say...
Please do not make one of those jokes.
I was going to say...
Actually, no, I want to hear it. I want to hear it.
I was going to say, with this, we could say that Jagex HQ is effectively a part of the no-spin zone.
Yeah! You need sunglasses to do that.
Well, I'm hoping I can get enough...
All right, you wanted
some.
To get some sunglasses. Can do that, and then you can make... all of those CSI Miami jokes that you want. I mean, I already have my double eye patches.
That's close enough.
That's good enough for me.
Yeah.
And then everyone stole my look.
I wish I could wear sunglasses in real life.
Why can't you?
I have real glasses that I need.
Wear some big ones.
No.
Wear some giant sunglasses. You could be Elton John.
No.
Why not?
No, absolutely.
Don't you like Elton John?
I have no opinion.
He sings about space. He's a rocket man.
I thought that was Billy Joel.
No, that was Piano Man.
Oh.
You got half of it right.
Alrighty.
They both sang about a man.
Well, in that case, let's move on to the polling update, shall we?
All right, if we must.
Lodestones came up on top at 47%. Filling the Lumbridge Crater with water was at 42%.
Wait. Okay, so remind me, what happens now?
Lodestones are going to have an option added to them to make them an instant travel feature by using Law Runes and Divine Energy.
Oh, Divine Energy.
You know, I'm not going to take part in this when it comes out, because I quite like my little trapeze animation that I do when I use the lodestone.
Ugh. Lodestones.
All right, well, in that case, we got two other polls this week pertaining to Iron Man accounts. First one is...
What?
To Iron Man accounts.
Iron?
Iron Man?
Iron.
Yes.
Damn commies and their damn pronunciations.
Group bossing.
Can't even talk right.
First one, unlimited Iron Man only groups, 23%. Limited Iron Man groups. Limited all player groups. No grouping. I don't mind. Oh, the percentages disappeared. Whoops.
I'll look at that for you right now.
I believe limited Iron Man only groups was winning.
I'll look at that for you right now. All right, so. Group bossing. Unlimited. Limited Iron Man only groups is winning at 38%, followed by unlimited Iron Man only groups at 23%, and then no grouping at 20%, limited all player groups at 14%, and 2% I don't mind. Now, what it means by limited and unlimited, limited means there can only be so many players in there. But yeah, they can attempt it with others. And then there's unlimited, which there can be 10 billion Iron Man players in one group. That's what it means.
Yeah.
I was very confused by that.
I honestly think that limited Iron Man is the best option here. Because, well, all player groups are going to have an advantage over Iron Man accounts, so it's best to keep it the same thing.
Yeah. I don't think I got to vote in that for some reason, or I did and I forgot. Oh, it's only Iron Man can.
Exactly.
Okay. That makes sense. Because I would have voted for I don't mind.
And that is why you're not allowed to vote.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Sorry about that.
About what?
I don't know if you heard that bottle, but anyways.
Oh. Okay.
Guthixian butterflies for Iron Man. Should they grant XP? 72% say yes. 24% say no.
And what are those?
Those are those butterflies that can appear in the world. Priftinus has a higher chance of seeing them, and they give you XP in your lowest skill.
Oh shit!
Yeah, watch for them in Priftinus. But I say no.
I would have voted. Guess what?
I don't mind.
I don't mind. Because it doesn't affect me. And I couldn't vote in that one either, right?
Correct.
Okay. Now, what were the percentages?
72 to 24.
In favor of?
Yes, granting XP.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, if I had to pick, I'd probably say, sure, why not?
I mean, it's so small, but I think Iron Man needs to be maintained as a peer kind of thing and have its influence from other things reduced like that.
Well, it's not bonus XP, right? It's real XP.
Correct.
Well, I mean, it makes sense. Can they use Tears of Guthix?
I don't know, actually.
Because if they can use Tears of Guthix, then I don't have a problem with this.
I'll check that out. Ah, yeah. Thank you. Anyways, that's it for the polls this week.
Move on.
Rune Labs, large ideas in March. A whole bunch of them have come in so far. Two that I am ecstatic to support are the addition of a Saren quest, in addition with the Saren spells, and the Soul Altar. I would really like to see this quest, probably over any other quest that was listed here. This was submitted by Gaga Lady. Yes, I know where that's going, but,
Lady Gaga.
Possible requirements are, Plagues End, Temple at Santistin, Dishonor Among Thieves, Nomad's Requiem, and Fate of the Gods. Requirements would be, possible features, I'm sorry, would be fighting with Nomad, putting Saren back together, talking to various NPCs at Priftinus, and visiting Frenisge, or perhaps talking to Zaros due to his relationship with Saren.
Alright, I can't find anything about Tears of Guthix and Iron Man, so I'm assuming that you can.
Alright, yeah, it's a question.
So, I don't have a problem with the butterfly thing, then.
This quest has 1562 supporters. It's second overall. So I would recommend that everybody go support this. And I also like the idea of a farming guild. And you can call me a sucker for supporting ideas 2 and 3 and not searching, but these are two things I've wanted for a long time.
The soul it has altered, to do with farming. He really wants it. Because everyone knows how you feel about farming, Shane.
Correct.
All right.
Yours?
And then mine is one about resetting your quests, and this is what on the list, Shane?
You counted
a second ago.
Number 11.
Okay. Yeah. And the J-Mods responded to it. And they said, unfortunately, being able to reset quests is no simple task. Therefore, if this wins, we would develop the system needed and allow yourself and a player to pick a handful of quests they want to... What? You could only do that with certain quests, basically, is what he's saying. I cannot understand what this guy's trying to say.
What he should have said is... A handful of quests chosen by you and the players will need to be retrofitted to work more like Broken Home.
Yeah, they, he used very poor wording that isn't clear, but basically that.
Yes. And,
which I don't really see why they can't just put it in an instance that doesn't affect anything and you just do it, but, I mean, I'm not a programmer, so I don't know about that. But couldn't they just put something in it that doesn't affect anything at all, Shane? Is that possible?
Based on the fact these quests were written so many years ago and that they probably interact directly with your player, would make it hard to do unless they were redoing the entire quest. And as you know, when they redo a quest, that first quest gets removed from the game and everybody gets a chance to replay it. So it is indeed what they say, no small feat from the way I can see it.
They could just make the output and stuff to it to nothing. That did not make sense.
Well, mostly. You basically mean that it wouldn't save to your character when you do it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they could do that, but the question is... You would need to do this for all 200 quests.
Yeah, that's the only issue.
And as you know, Jagex has had a history of when it comes to dealing with quests and big things in game that are expansive, unintended things do sometimes happen, like the sudden death syndrome with construction.
Ugh. I still bank everything when I go to Tears of Gothics because of that GIF Brad Woodward found of just someone dying in there and dropping.
That was actually his GIF.
Wait, that was of him?
No, he was there when it happened and he recorded it.
I know, that's what I said.
Yeah. But he didn't die.
No.
Yeah.
But he recorded that. I still don't take anything with me to Tears of Gothics when I go, just because of that.
And
it's
anybody,
probably fine now.
Yeah,
but...
and to anybody wondering, this was in 2006 after the introduction of construction. If I remember correctly, surfaced from a bug fix to the initial construction glitches in the house. So.
In the house.
Yes. And, going back to the list of updates for March here, currently the top supported idea is Rite of Passage. That's the Big Bird quest.
Ugh. Are you going to call it that?
Well, I mean, we'll see how it goes and how it plays, and if there's no, like, Big Bird in it, then probably
it's
not.
It's about Armadill. Of course there's a Big Bird in it.
But...
All right, please outvote Rite of Passage so we don't have to hear... And make Big Bird jokes the whole time.
Yeah.
For that reason alone, that's why I'm against this.
It's 250 votes ahead of the Saren quest.
All right, listeners, go do stuff.
You should go support the Saren quest as well.
Oh, fine. There you go.
And just to make you feel better, I did not. Oh, I did. I did put a support also behind Elemental Workshop Part 5.
Eh, I'll allow it.
Yeah, it probably won't see the light of day this month.
But... Oh, but you can. There is a small unsupport this idea button.
Yes.
So you could always do that.
Yeah. Anyways.
He's not going to do that.
So that's what we have for our supported ideas, and if you guys, you listeners, do have an idea that is in the current batch of voting and you want us to talk about it on next week's show, just send Earth or myself a PM and we'll gladly talk about your idea and get it out there to more people.
I'm very happy to hear from listeners. I had one listener contact me last week and commented on the show, and that was great. And I commend this person for typing in all of those numbers. But as a result, I realized, hey, all these people have to type in a bunch of numbers if they want to get in contact with me. So if you missed the memo, I have changed my name on RS to Lord Space Earth. So just Lord Earth with the space in the middle.
We've been making notes
to make y'all's life easier.
Yes.
So now you have no excuse to not contact me.
And whether you guys have zero supporters on your idea or 50, let us know and we'll try and get some good stuff flowing your way. We'll see what
some
kind of
good stuff.
Yeah, some votes, some upvotes. We'll see what kind of movement we can have here.
All right. Hopefully not a bowel movement, but what?
Okay.
Shane.
I never said that.
Shane, anyways. Why are you talking about bowel movements?
That was you.
Anyways. Oh, okay. I get confused in my old age. Let's move on to listener questions. Do we have an audio question? Oh, what?
You forgot two things first. First up, a behind-the-scenes
video.
Two
things? Oh, yeah. No, not Paul.
First up, behind-the-scenes video talking about March's Rune Labs ideas. And for some reason, they're calling it Rune Labs Podcast and Questival when the podcast and the Questival was not mentioned at all in this behind-the-scenes video.
Wait, so they said something about a Questival and then it didn't appear at all in the behind-the-scenes?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, it's at the bottom here, but it wasn't mentioned in the video.
Oh, okay. Yeah, oh, I'll have to talk to people from my clan about that. They may be having part in that again this year.
Oh, good. Well, of course.
Because traditionally we've had a lot to do with that.
Good.
I will find out about that. I will make some contacts with people right good. Now.
Also, an interesting thing from the behind-the-scenes video. They're actually Skyping with the two people whose ideas they're implementing for next month.
Ooh.
Or for June. So the Slayer belt and what was the other one? Oh, I forget. Jeez.
Oh, the Slayer belt one?
Yeah, they're doing that anyway since it's kind of a small update. Oh, yes. And the Adamant and Rune Dragons. That was the other one. Those were the two that they're going with from January. But
well, I guess that's okay. I'll allow it.
And they're actually Skyping with the people who submitted these ideas and including them at a very, very good level in the design process of these two pieces of content, which I think is absolutely amazing.
Say that again.
They're Skyping with people and including them in a reasonable way in the design process of the two updates.
Oh, okay. So it's not just a hi, how are you? Congratulations, your idea won. Bye.
Yeah, like there's a video of Maud Osborne actually talking with one of them.
Oh, good.
Yeah. But good. And this is why I think Rune Labs is so important for RS, because this is a kind of development that you don't see in many places. And while you might get some garbage ideas coming through, it can really change the way people look at game development in general. So I think this
is a good thing. So they're doing this with all of the people who won?
I don't want to say any precedents have been set, but we've only had one so far, so it's hard to know for sure, but they've definitely talked to these two.
Okay, and these are for which ideas?
Rune and Adamant Dragons and the Slayer Belt.
Well, I mean, I don't really think there's much to talk about with the Slayer Belt, but I guess it's good that they're including them.
Yeah, what they said, they want to include a part of the individual who made these updates or pieces of content. And
does it mean a part of? Is the person going to lose a finger or something?
Well, no. like maybe like a name or something like that, or just something that pays homage back to them.
Oh, okay. So
yeah,
all right.
But we're looking at June for these updates to come into game.
Woo!
The dragons were initially going to be in Brimhaven, but they're now looking at maybe Kethsea, for example, where they can put them. So it'll be interesting. Oh, to
maybe
see
Alex can get a 99 the rune dragons again, right?
Yeah, yeah.
For those of you who don't know, Alex 43, one of our staff members, when he gets 99s, he loves to go into the ass end of nowhere to get 99s. And then he picked Kethsea, which is somewhere in the... You have to go through a fairy ring, and then he wanted you to go through a bunch of agility shortcuts to get there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Shane was not very pleased about that. Did you end up going?
No. And I made a specific point when I got 99 summoning, Taverly summoning altar.
Yeah, he dragged me there. Like, you need to come on for this. What? Do I have to? Yes.
Anyways, that's it for RS updates this week.
Making me do stuff.
It's now time for Paul to talk
once again.
No,
I almost got past that. No.
With
but
the
he
RS
talks
need
for
to
so
know
long.
Series. With the RS need to know
no.
series. This week talking about the Adventurer's Tab.
If I complain enough, can we not?
No.
Damn. Alright, well, we might as well get over it. I almost accidentally got us past that because I misread where we were on the notes. And I almost skipped that. You should stop making things bold. Oh, no, I guess that needed to be bold. I don't know.
Anyways, this is
I
only 2 minutes.
I almost saved
one.
You guys. I tried.
2 minutes and 52 seconds, so let's go, Paul.
Of torture.
Let's hear what you have to say.
Hello, this is SilverRiz9, PFK99s from RSBNB. This is the RuneScape Need to Know series. We will take a look at features that you may have missed or forgotten. Either way, hope you learned something useful. Last week, we took a look at the skilling urns, and this week we're going to take a look at the adventures menu. My screen is this button I'm highlighting right here. It kind of looks like a compass. Click on it, and first will pop up is quests, challenges, minigames, path, and beasts. The quest shows, as the name implies, quests that you can do as well as the prior quests that you have done. You can further filter it by what you can do right now, the ones you have done. It's pretty useful. It's pretty much the same thing it's always been, though. Challenges, specifically the daily challenges, show the challenges that you can complete for a treasure, hunter, key, and ice. Sometimes these will only give experience or a... grab bag of goodies, and generally the more expense that you have to put in, the better reward you're going to get out of that if it's not just a treasure hunter key. For example, this black dragonhead vamrances would cost quite a bit to do, and I'm not going to do it, but I'm sure this challenge mystery bag would be worth it. Same thing with the crafting experience, but I don't really want to put the money into it. The mini games show the various mini games that you are able to complete. And it will show when they reset. So, as an example, God Statues is a monthly distraction and diversion that gives construction, prayer, or slayer experience. And it resets once a month. And it shows that there are 18 days left before that happens. Same thing with Agogorath. I guess there's not two G's in that, but it resets in 4 days. It will show the distraction and diversions. That's, I guess, what I had up. And when everything will... happen. Path is specifically for new players, so if you are a new player, it may be worth doing. Otherwise, it's probably not worth doing because you know how to do banking, how to trade people, how to use challenges, and the like. Beast is actually kind of interesting. It will show boss information. You can actually learn kind of what each stage will do, what you should do to protect against it, and it will also show you the special rewards that you get. It will also show you how many boss kills you have had, and because I've just recently come back, I haven't really done a whole lot. And for Slayer creature kills, it will show you all of the creatures you have killed, at least past a certain level, in Slayer. And kind of interesting to know, but not particularly mind-blowing, but it's interesting to see that type of stuff. So, that's all for now. Make sure to take a look, and I'll see you next week. This is Silver Rose 9, PFK99s from RSBNB. Thanks.
All right, on to questions we go. You can read this first one.
It's finally over. God.
You can read this first one, since it was kind of odd with what you were doing before the show.
Well, first I would like to say, guys, we got no audio questions this week, and we like audio questions, so you should send us some audio questions.
Indeed, you can do that by sending them to questions@rsbnb.com, just attach the file, or leave us a voicemail on Skype, the username is rsbnbupdate, or leave us a Google voicemail at 571-572-2632.
Is that a good plug? Do I get a cookie?
Yes.
Hot damn. Oh, I was going to make you read this one. Damn. All right. This very long essay from Colton is from Colton. I don't know where I was going with that. This question is from Colton. Hello, all-powerful hosties. Colton here with just a few questions for this week. 1. Did you have any childhood nicknames from friends or family? My mother took to calling me Cole Tater. Don't ask why. And 2. Do either of you have a word that just gets on your nerves? One that, whenever you hear it, makes you cringe a bit? I do, but I'm not willing to disclose that info. And 3, with March Madness blooming here in the States, I'd like to ask Shane if you guys even have basketball in the Great White North. Other than hockey, are there college sports of any sort that just don't get coverage here? Please explain. And last but not least, if you were to choose one song to which you would do your mating dance, as many other animal species do, which song would you choose and why? And yes, Shane, you do have to answer this. Love, Colton. All right, Shane. Number 1.
First off, I thought it, when I was reading this in the smaller text earlier, I thought it said Colator. Like, I thought you liked organizing papers or something, but I see it's Coltator now. That's interesting. But potatoes, I guess maybe you had a backyard garden or something and you liked harvesting them or planting them. Or
maybe just... he was a potato farmer.
Yeah, but he's not from Idaho, so I don't know. But anyways.
Eh.
Nothing that really stands out aside from the obvious, you know, Shane-er. And there's another one that Reed and company have already discussed, and that is, of course, Shan.
Really?
Yeah, I forgot to write an E once on one of my papers, and that became a thing.
I hadn't heard that. That's hilarious.
Yeah, I was typoing even back then.
Even back then. Wow. That really is something. Reader, stuff like that. Just general things you would call a small boy, slugger, sport, things like that.
That's why you like calling me sport.
No, I call you that because it's hilarious.
Oh.
Yeah. All right, Shane.
Nothing more original for you?
No.
Okay, not like Reedy or...
I mean, someone probably has called me that at some point, but...
That's what my note is on your name on RS.
Why? I'm not going to ask why. I'm just going to accept
it. Just happen.
All right. And Shane, word...
This is two words, but it's one thing. Grilled cheese. If someone's cooking grilled cheese and the window is not open. I will seriously lose whatever I am eating.
And unfortunately, that is one of my favorite meals ever. So if Shane asks me what I'm eating and I tell him, he complains. So there's no winning for me in that situation. Except I get a grilled cheese.
Okay. I do have one other word that I'm not going to mention. It's a single word that I am not
gonna mention. Is it gay?
No.
Okay.
It's one word. But I will say there's another one that is that it's the biggest oxymoron out there that people brand in a certain way, and that is pro-choice. That's all I'm going to say on that.
Thank you. One word that just gets on my nerves. I don't know. And people mix up the different kind of theirs and yours. That's irritating. But anything spoken, nah. Not really anything.
And the grilled cheese thing almost happened today,
you can stop talking about that now if you're going to vomit.
Yeah, it happened today almost.
Well, let's not talk about that. Just for the listener's sake.
Okay.
I mean, if anything happened, I guess you would edit it out, but...
Yes.
Nah. Moving on. Shane?
Yes. You know, the only time that the university sports here get covered is if it is a small town or a small city like Red Deer, for example, or if the NHL team is out of the playoffs or doing very badly, like the Oilers always do. The news instead likes to cover things like the Golden Bears at the University of Alberta, or another thing that is
about the what are they called in Calgary? The Calgary Hitmen, which is a minor
WHL
league team,
yeah.
Apparently.
Those also get covered quite a bit when the hockey teams aren't doing well. We have the Edmonton Oil Kings here.
Yeah. I think my favorite is the, Wheat Kings, right? Isn't that a team?
Saskatchewan. I don't know. But, anyways. Yeah, we don't really get that much kind of coverage on those kind of sports things here, but there is a channel that we do get. It's called the Big Ten Network. Covers, of course, all the college stuff down in the U.S., so if you want that, you can get it. As for basketball teams, you know, we don't actually have those here. The only pro basketball team in Canada is the Toronto Raptors. That's on the other end of the country.
They're professional?
Apparently.
Are they good?
I don't know.
Isn't Toronto where the Maple Leafs are?
Yep, as with the Blue Jays. Mm-hmm.
All right, they have that team too. Yeah, Toronto just has really, really bad teams, don't they?
Yeah, well,
Shane, we you know, how do you know when it's spring in Canada? When the Leafs are out, right?
Yes, the Maple Leafs.
Mm-hmm.
Or the Leafs have fallen, that kind of thing, but...
The leaves don't fall in the spring, Shane.
But
you just said fall.
Just wait. But if the Toronto Maple Leafs do bad in the fall or in November, then you can say the Leafs are falling.
I guess.
Yes, but
that's not nearly as hilarious, though.
Anyways, hopefully that's a good enough answer to number three. If you want more, feel free to PM me.
All right, and Shane, which one song would you choose to do your mating dance?
That's referring to sex, for those of you who aren't aware.
That's a really odd question. I don't know.
I like
maybe,
it.
Maybe Beethoven, Piano Sonata number 14.
All right. It's commendable, I suppose.
At least it's not like Ride of the Valkyries or something.
Yeah.
That's a good song to put World of Tanks to.
Yeah, I mean, riding, coming, meh.
I think we're venturing into territory here that we need not discuss on a podcast, but...
So, Shane was really freaked out when I told him I was picking something up, and I said it was for a question. I was out picking something up for a question. Very freaked out by that, but this was actually completely a coincidence. Recently, I've been starting to listen to really old music, like from the 40s and stuff, like Ella Fitzgerald, Bing Crosby, Nat King Cole, Louis Armstrong. And I thought of this question because some of those songs, especially Frank Sinatra, are definitely some that I would, how did you phrase it? Do my mating dance to. And I went through my Frank Sinatra playlist and I can't really pick one out, one single one, but it would definitely be Frank Sinatra. Some ones I really like are Come Fly With Me.
Okay.
And Blue Moon, I Get a Kick Out of You. Just Frank Sinatra is wonderful.
And, you know, you gotta hand it to that wartime kind of music and, you know, music before the whole 1970s and 1960s. It was really different back then. And, you know, there wasn't nearly as many negative influences and songs back then as there are today with hip hop and all the kind of
Not true at all. Have you not heard the song Butcher Pete?
No.
it's pretty bad. Pete just flew into this town and he's chopping up all the women's meat.
All right, that is pretty bad.
See.
But I mean, at least it didn't cause murders and whatnot, you know?
All you fellas gotta watch your wives, because Pete don't care who's meaty chops. There's a lot of music like that, too.
And for anyone who doesn't know...
And for anyone who doesn't know, I
despise hip-hop.
Oh, you hate everything fun, Shane.
All right.
At least you admit it.
No, I like fun things, but anything else for Colton's question before we move on?
Just Frank Sinatra, like some of the artists I mentioned. Frank Sinatra, Ella Fitzgerald, Bing Crosby. Excellent. Nat King Cole. If you need some of these songs, you can send me a PM and I can probably make you a playlist.
And you can just plug into iTunes Match or Pandora or whatever you choose.
And do the do.
Mm.
Frickle frackle.
Alrighty, well thank you, Colton, for those questions. That's
you sound
very...
so uncomfortable.
Well, yeah, it's not every day you get asked about something like that. But anyways,
that's a wonderful question. I like.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah. He just wants to get us to get to know us better, and rightly so, right?
Wink. And wink. If you are trying to do the do again, just send me a PM. I'll make you a playlist.
I don't want to go any further. But thank you.
Yeah, he's very uncomfortable. That's another good quality. There are two great qualities I like in a question. One, make Shane uncomfortable. Or two, it's very original, like this one. But if you can do both without going overboard, excellent.
I would like to have Colton answer all four of these now. But anyways.
Three wouldn't really be relevant to him because he is in the United States. You take this, or no, I'll take this next one, and then you can read the last two. This question is from Imperial. If you could choose one and only one familiar to have in real life, which would it be?
Not the yak. That would be too smelly. Maybe the magpie. With given how expensive gold is these days.
You wouldn't have the Pyre Lord or the giant Chinchampa, Shane?
Why would you need either of those?
Why not? Obviously.
Okay.
I don't know. If they acted like they did in this, I don't know, maybe a giant tortoise? Because why not? You can have a giant war tortoise that can carry all of your stuff. That would be great.
Or the spirit terror bird.
That'd get annoying.
Yeah, it looks like it.
Obnoxious cawing noise all the time. Stop.
Imagine trying to keep one of those in your backyard.
I do not want to imagine that.
You can get a steel titan? No, I would probably destroy everything.
I mean, yes, I could. But no, thank you.
Alrighty, well, thank you, Imperial. Hopefully that's a good answer. Oh, the giant ant. That would be good. That would be good. Yes.
Treebeard.
That's my answer. All right. Thank you, Imperial. Next one is from Devo. Have you ever come across someone playing RuneScape in public, for example, like a coffee shop, on a laptop, or a school computer lab? If so, where? Also, did you ever strike up a conversation or comment to them about it? I noticed someone playing at a cafe a couple years ago, and he seemed to power woodcutting. On my way out, I tapped him on the shoulder and said something to the effect of try Arctic pines with urns, and then walked out. He had this puzzled look on his face, probably trying to comprehend what happened. Yeah, Alex43. I knew him before, but that's how I found out he played RS.
And they're best friends.
And then I convinced him to join and been informer ever since, and that's the story on that.
And that's how history is made, y'all.
Yes.
Okay. So, I don't think I've ever come across anyone, playing RS in public, but I have gotten all of my roommates to play again. And we like to frequent Steak and Shake in the early hours of the morning, like 1, 2, 3 a.m. And so we were talking about RS, and we were talking about my clan, actually, Clan Quest. And then my roommate Andrew just turns to Josh, and he says very loudly, "No, Josh, we were talking about the clan." And then table right next to us is a family of African-American people. And Andrew has just yelled, "No, we were talking about the clan." And this is in Georgia.
Oh, boy.
So,
anything else?
But, I mean, we're obviously all okay. I don't think they noticed. So, we got out of there alive.
Yes.
But,
yes, that's very good.
No, that's really the only story I have.
And, you know, I think Andrew would be the one to say something like that.
Yeah, and that may have been Josh who said that, as I said, early hours of the morning. One of them said that. That conversation happened between the two of them.
All right, so it's not a Southrend story, then.
Yes, this did actually happen, and Now I have to explain what that means.
Okay.
So I asked Shane
You got 2 minutes.
I asked Shane how I was looking at doing a Squid proxy server, which you don't need to worry about what this is. But asked Shane if he had any experience with it or knew anyone who did. And he told me one of our former global mods, Southrend, had a lot of experience with it. And he told me this really long, elaborate story about it. And then, so I was like, all right, cool. So I PM'd Southrend and asked him about it, and he said that he had no idea what Shane was talking about, and that he had never heard of a Squid proxy server before in his life. So, yeah.
All right.
Henceforth, we have referred to stories that Shane completely makes up as Southrend stories.
Next one is from Trekkie. Oh, Shane, got something about clue voyages. Seems, apparently, if you get a clue voyage from player-owned ports, you can go to the bar and talk to the adventurer or barkeep to steer them towards which island they should go to. Still haven't figured out which island they should go, but I think as a semi-clue, if you look at how long the clue voyage is, then you have a rough idea of where they are supposed to go, since higher-up islands take much longer to get back. Going to give this a try. Peace. May Dwayna bless thee. Oh, yeah, question. What is your most hated color?
Well, I know that Shane's absolute favorite color is hot pink.
Thank you for answering that. But if it's a color I'm looking at on a computer monitor, it has to be cyan. That color just hurts my eyes, and it makes no sense. It's not a color you see in nature. It's really annoying.
Really?
Yeah, pure cyan.
Oh, really, sir?
Yes?
Well, just Googling cyan in nature.
Uh-huh.
This is something from hdwallpapers.cat. Okay. I'm pulling something up. See?
Oh, there. Okay.
That does exist in nature, sir.
I mean the kind of cyan that hurts your eyes. Like the global moderator color on the forums.
Then why did you make it that color?
That was the default to PHPBB2 for moderator.
Okay. Whatever.
And your most hated color?
I don't know. I don't really hate colors. I guess University of Tennessee orange. That's pretty obnoxious. And I see it all the time.
Isn't the color of your university orange as well?
No, it's different. It is different. I will send you a web page that has the different values on it because that came up during a tournament.
Oh, right. I remember that now.
Yeah, I think I actually sent that to you.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, that's right. I did say they were different. True. Thank you for reminding me.
You are welcome. It's always a pleasure to remind you how wrong you are.
Alrighty, well, thank you for the questions, everyone, and thank you for the tip on the the clue voyages in player-owned ports.
Woo!
On to tech news, perhaps?
Sure.
Alright, are you ready to freak out?
No.
Alright, well, this week, if you have not run your Windows updates, everybody out there, or if you have not updated your Mac, you are vulnerable to the freak exploit in Internet Explorer and Safari. Chrome shipped out a micro patch, so you're good.
What? But I thought OS X didn't get viruses.
But this is
with my life, Shane?
This is a vulnerability in some security libraries pertaining to SSL and TLS, once again, which are encryption schemes on the net. So basically, I won't go into too much of
explain my core 5, Shane.
Yeah, so basically this lets someone forge SSL certificates, and with this forged certificate at a certain host, if the host is vulnerable, lets you take over now, that and sub in a bad certificate.
Okay, now what do certificates do?
It basically ensures the authenticity of the connection and yet your connection.
So it's like I don't know, a driver's license or some other form of ID.
Exactly, and if it's forged, okay. Well,
and they can forge that.
Yes.
All right.
And
very
by upgrading Chrome, this patches it so that it will show you a big red alert if something is indeed broken like that.
Yay!
And there's a whole list of popular sites that are susceptible to this. One of the first notable ones is JCPenney.
Because I go there every day.
Are they still around, or?
Yeah.
Okay, just checking, because we don't have them up here.
You don't have anything in Canada. Don't even have Target.
Yeah, they're pulling out, but that's a topic for another day. But yes, make sure your browsers are all up to date. You run your Windows updates. And it's a good idea to set Windows updates to automatic if you do have the bandwidth to do that without having any negative side effects.
I find it does it at like 2 o'clock in the morning. It's never interfered with normal operations.
So it's something that you definitely should do in this day and age. And if you do, your chances of being bit by something like this are very, very remote. And you'll notice that everybody revealed and updated on the same day as to minimize the potential attack surface.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I like when they do that.
There has not been any word from Chrome on Android, the stock Android browser, or the browser on BlackBerry as to when those will be fixed.
I don't know about Windows Phone either. I'm not really sure how updates work on this. I have checked for updates. I guess they just do minor security patches automatically.
Yeah, and I mean, identity and the identity.
Is there anywhere I can go to check this?
Yeah, actually, just go to freakattack.com, and at the top of the page, it'll tell you if your browser is safe.
Freakattack.com. Your browser is vulnerable. So,
there you go. So you'll...
Well, good thing I don't shop at JCPenney, right?
Yeah. And, I mean, it's not like it's going to hijack your phone or anything like that, but...
Yeah, it's a phone.
It's an identity issue as to whether or not the website you're going to is actually the website you intend to be going to.
Yeah, I don't do anything that really warrants encryption on my phone anyway, because I don't want to do that. So, But we shall see.
Yeah, and just some numbers before we move on. Secure servers in the top Alexa 1 million, 9.5% are vulnerable, down from 12.2.
And when was this updated, and when was the 12.2?
12.2 was on March 3rd.
So 10 days before recording.
Yep. Now we're at 9.5. Secure servers with browser trusted certificates, 36.7% currently vulnerable. And overall of all secure servers, 26.3% vulnerable. So, I mean, it is something to do, but you just got to, you know, be aware of where you're going on the internet. You know, if you're expecting to go to your bank, but you see a secure certificate issue, well, you better check that out. Make sure you're actually at the URL of your bank and you're not being phished, stuff like that. Should also note that TinyURL, MIT are also on here. NPR. Vulnerable servers.
And what was the one you just said?
MIT.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah, NPR as well. TinyURL, the URL shortener. But yeah.
Yay, vulnerabilities.
But just be safe and you'll be good.
Always
next
use
up,
protection, everyone.
Yes, always use antivirus.
Looking at you, Colton.
Okay, okay. next up, Cortana is coming to iOS and Android. I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on this.
Well, it doesn't affect me, so... I mean,
okay.
I guess it'll get... I mean, if I say, I guess it'll get more support, that implies that it doesn't get support now. It definitely does get a lot of support now, but... I guess more publicity, I get more stuff. I don't know.
I mean,
it doesn't directly affect me in any way.
It's good, but I'd like to point out how difficult it is on iOS to use Google Now. It's going to be the same thing with Cortana. You're going to have to open the application.
Yeah, it's not going to be your integrate search application. Well.
Yeah.
So you're gonna for you iOS users and Android users, I definitely would recommend checking it out. Although I'm not sure how much it's... I mean, didn't Apple open a lot of stuff up in that last big update that I never
not
did?
Really.
Not really.
Not
really? No. Did they just pretend to?
Well, I mean, it can...
Did they make it sound like they were, but they
yeah,
weren't?
Yeah, they did. It's... There's no huge opening, like, to the point where developers can write APIs for Siri and whatnot. That might come this year, but I don't know. You know, I think the place where Cortana could take off, aside from the Windows Phone, is the Androids. For people who, you know, might have a rooted Android device and want to customize the environment.
Yeah, I mean... Google Now, it doesn't talk to you, does it?
It can, if you want.
It can?
Yeah, like okay. For searches and whatnot. But it's more information based on what you do. Like, if you
It's not a digital assistant, quote-unquote.
Correct. It's trying to, you know...
It's just like a verbal Google search?
Well, it's trying to, you know, integrate you more with technology. Like, if you go out somewhere to, say, to a shopping mall, it will realize, hey, you're at a shopping mall. Let's remember where you parked.
Oh. Well,
that's the kind of thing Google Now can do.
Can Siri not do that?
No.
Really?
No.
Huh. Cool. I didn't know that, because Cortana can.
Yeah. I mean, Siri... knows where you are, and it'll tell you the amount of time to get home and stuff like that.
Google yeah, like I can say, well. What's traffic look like on the way to work in the morning? Well, no, that's actually not going to be helpful because it's in the morning. What's traffic look like on the way to work?
Traffic is moving freely. It'll take 36 minutes to drive to work.
Yeah.
There you go.
Woo!
I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I'll probably give it a whirl when it comes out. But like I said, it's just too hard to use one of these additional things like Google Now or Cortana because you have to go into the app and you can't just activate it from the button. But iOS jailbreakers...
If you could, then it would be great.
You should talk with your friend. See if he... When
yeah,
this comes
bet
out,
with...
See if he can hook in.
I bet with Activator you can make it do that, because I actually disabled Siri because I didn't like that the shortcut being the home button, just holding that down for slightly too long.
Yeah. Ugh,
that was irritating.
Also, while we're on the topic, another funny Siri thing is when I have the phone plugged in, sometimes I'll just be talking and Siri will activate and... I said some bad words on World of Tanks once, and it was like, what? I don't even.
Yeah, I disabled Siri after it accidentally interpreted... After it interpreted a curse word meaning call my ex-girlfriend, who I definitely... This was the psycho one. That everyone has is that one, the last person on earth you would ever want to call. Interpreted a swear word as her name and tried to call her. So,
you know,
after
I'm
that,
impressed.
Siri was definitely disabled.
I don't have any bleeps yet today. I'm surprised you didn't actually say the word.
All right, it was. There.
There you go.
There's a bleep, Shane. See, they don't even get to remember. They don't even get to hear what it was.
Yeah.
Her name started with an F. Everyone.
Alrighty,
if you don't understand that, just ask your parents.
That's enough digital assistance for today. Let's talk about the Apple event this week, shall we?
Oh boy, it's my favorite.
So we found out the Apple Watch will be coming out on April 24th in a variety of prices. Starting at $349, going up all the way to...
$10 million.
$17,000.
Yay! Am I hiding my excitement well enough?
Yeah, you are. And...
Okay. Good.
I'm going to tell this, everybody out there. This is just like the first time the iPhone came out. You had to pay $799, I think it was, for the first iPhone. No contract. I expect at some point we'll see a bit of a price cut on these watches, but...
a bit?
Well, yeah, I mean...
I'd certainly hope so.
Yeah? I mean, the basic one that everyone's going to go for. Like the standard model, not the Sport 349 model. The basic one starts at $549 and moves all the way up to $1099 for a watch.
Are you going to get this, Shane? The next
model? I am not.
Model?
I don't know.
So what can it do?
Well, that's the thing. This was initially marketed back in September as a health device, but the health things that they wanted it to be able to do, they weren't able to get the sensors right. And anytime you're dealing with health stuff, you need to deal with the FDA, Food and Drug Administration. And because they weren't able to get the sensors right, they weren't able to get the classifications that they wanted for it.
So how much was the most expensive one?
The edition, like the gold one, starts at 10,000, goes all the way up to 17,000.
All right. If you can afford to buy a $17,000 watch for quote unquote health reasons, you're probably rich enough to just go buy another organ.
Yeah. But
Who needs a car? I'm going to get an Apple Watch for $17,000. I'll be the coolest kid around.
You'd hope some kid wouldn't come to school with a golden Apple Watch, because yeah, that goes missing and a lot of money down the drain.
Yeah,
but
I don't know why anyone would do that, but that's just me.
Apparently. You know, somebody needs, in addition to the health stuff, which you know we're obviously not there yet. Maybe give it another 5 years. But somebody needs to make a big enough splash in the app market to justify this. Because, I mean, yes, you can respond to text
messages.
What would
they need to do?
I don't know, and that's the thing.
I guess that's the...
And if I had some ideas, I would be more excited about this, but I don't have any ideas.
So, I mean, you've told the story multiple times of whenever something happens or you want to find something out, you just look at your wrist, and you always have.
Yes.
And I have talked to Mike, and he has confirmed this.
And for that reason, at some point, I will get one, maybe after they slim the form factor down, because it just looks too big. 38 millimeters diagonal, that's 4 centimeters. My current watch is half that size.
I don't know what these commie measurements are. Can you convert that to something that would make sense?
25 millimeters is an inch.
And how big is this?
38 millimeters.
Dear God.
And the bigger one is 42 millimeters.
I mean, that's the whole thing, though, is if it's too small, then how are you going to use it, right?
Yeah, and I mean...
I mean, you say you can reply to text messages. Is that with your voice, or do you
with your
you
voice or the predictive typing thing?
gross.
But let me be clear in saying that, well, I think that the first generation is not the right time. I do think this is the generation where this is the kind of technology where we're going to ultimately be going with this kind of stuff. Wearables. And with it being Apple, it will sell them.
I'll keep my desktop computer, thank you.
All right. Well, in addition to that, there is also the new MacBook announced, which, as always with anything new from Apple, there's a great
thinner
about how it's designed and the new keyboard. Also, how they really shrunk down the whole logic board and redesigned the batteries to make them thinner. And anybody and see, this is a thing. You PC people don't understand.
You guys don't understand
that the point of Apple
is
not
innovative.
Yes, that is the case. And it comes down to having a device that isn't just something thrown together. It's something that's crafted in the same way that, you know,
it's a work of art.
Exactly, like a great piece of, like an old classic watch is crafted. That is what I would say this new MacBook is.
Wait. So, going back to watches, you don't think the Apple Watch is beautifully crafted, though, right?
Well, I mean, every model is the same. The internals, whether it be $350 or $17,000, whereas with an old-fashioned,
but you said it was too big.
Yeah, the 42 is definitely too big. I don't know how the 38 would be.
All right.
But, anyways. How does this sound for you? A screen resolution of 2304
by 1440. 2304
by
1440?
Yes.
Well, what's the aspect ratio?
1610.
1610. Ooh, that's nice. I do approve of that. I mean,
so it's basically
the height is the same as the Surface, which is also 1440. But the Surface has that strange 3:2 ratio.
Isn't the Surface 2160 by 1440?
2160 by 1440. Correct.
Okay.
Which really hasn't caused that much of an issue with gaming.
That's actually standard resolution.
Well, I mean, it's a 3:2 aspect ratio, which is weird. Like, yeah. To do streaming, I had to go in and hack in the... I had to make a dummy plug, of course, but that's because these are bigger... That resolution is bigger than the resolution of my monitors. But I had to go in and hack that resolution and make a little dummy plug that I plugged in so I could do Steam and home streaming.
Oh, yeah.
But that's worked very well.
Two more things on the MacBook. No fans.
Oh, boy.
So it's going to be very quiet.
I can overheat faster than any other product before.
Well, that's why it's only got the mobile M chips. And
oh, God. Like so it's going to be slow.
Just wait. It's essentially your Surface in terms of CPU quality.
I don't know,
I bet the next Surface will be using the mobile M chips.
I don't know what a mobile M chip is, actually.
It's
Intel's
2014.
Is that like an Intel Atom?
No. That thing's gone. That was horrible, but it's gone. That's gone now.
I know mine's running the mobile version of an i5. My Surface is.
Oh, okay.
Is this the same thing? I don't know anything
this is
about
more
mobile process. This is what?
This is more mobile than those ones.
It's more mobile?
Yeah.
So what, it's like lighter or something, right? That's
well,
what you mean
by that?
Well,
less power and that sort
it's
of stuff.
It's not as powerful as a PC.
But anyways, and last thing on this, USB Type-C, open standard.
All right, guys, with USB plugs, take a look at it. Find the side. There's a little, on most cables, there should be a little bump or a USB symbol on it. that side will generally go up. That is the USB standard. You have to have something on the side that goes up.
Now, if you will just step away from your superiority on this...
My ability to notice things on a cable that are in the standard.
Dual 10 gigabit per second channels with USB Type-C.
See, that's the only reason why I'm considering this is a good thing, because it's faster.
And it effectively kills off Thunderbolt, because there is no good. Thunderbolt on here. And I think Apple finally gets
Thunderbolt?
It. That's Apple and Intel's fast.
Well, no, I know that, but what's it look like? Do I know that?
What do you mean?
Is that that the thing that plugs into the iPhone 5?
No, that's no.
What is that?
That's Lightning.
Oh God! Come up with original names. Come on.
Thunderbolt was done by Intel and shares the Mini DisplayPort connector. But anyways, USB Type-C open standard, meaning we're going to be seeing cheap cables.
Cheap cables.
Yeah.
Price.com micro USB. I can get a micro USB cable off of Monoprice for $1.44, and that's a 6 foot one with a ferrite core.
Okay, take that up to $3, and that's what USB Type C cables will look like eventually.
Take that up to $3?
Yep.
I can't find a single thing on this page that's more than $3.
Well, okay.
I don't understand what you mean by $3.
I'm just saying they'll be $3 because they're, more advanced than standard USB. That's all.
Oh.
It can't be
mass produced. Oh, I see what you mean. Okay, got it.
Anyways, just wrapping this up quickly. In addition to this, there's also the whole new trackpad, the Force Touch mechanism, which I think is actually the whole star of tech news this week.
All right, why should I care?
Haptic technology.
Explain like I'm five.
Basically, haptics is the art of anything technology-based, making it so that it responds to you in a touch sense. So that when you are, say, mousing over something, it will give you force feedback into your fingers.
Oh, so this isn't like, it can tell how hard you're pressing down.
Yes, exactly. That is what this does.
Really?
Yeah.
This my shitty Dell laptop from 2005 could tell me how hard I was pressing down on the keypad.
Now this is different.
What's it called? The mouse touch pad? I don't know. The thing I hate.
Trackpad,
yes, that.
Yeah. Now this is special because you can press harder.
It's Apple. And
it will give you a third click, and the trackpad doesn't move at all. It just gives you that force feedback to make it think that you're moving. Just wait, don't knock it until you go to the store to try it.
It's not a physical button, I don't like it.
Go to an Apple store and test it out. I'm going
to
do that.
I'm not
before.
Going to an Apple store. I've had enough with cults for my entire life.
Go to Best Buy then.
I'm not going to Best Buy.
Well, I definitely want to go in and touch one of these trackpads. It'll either be at Best Buy or the Apple store.
Oh, boy.
Anyways, look forward to more coming from me about Force Touch. I think it's a really revolutionary thing, and so much can be done with it when this technology inevitably makes its way into the iPhone.
Well, what can be done with it? Like, you said something about a third click. I mean, they haven't even gotten the second click down yet, have they?
Two fingers, Reed. Two fingers. But... but if you say, for example... The example they give, if you hover over a word, you click once and then you hold it down, the Force Touch will realize you're pressing harder and it will bring up a contextual menu where you'll be able to see definitions and that kind of thing. If it's a word, you can do other things, of course, with it, customize it in the system preferences.
So how's that different from just clicking on it?
Well, it uses force rather than another set of fingers.
I mean, is it I don't know. We'll see. I'm skeptical. Shane is not.
I do have something in the works for Informer relating to Force Touch and haptics in general.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. But definitely
I'm not encouraging anyone to visit our website by doing that. I apologize. You all should come visit our website. It's pretty great.
I'm looking forward to the day where I can get an upgraded magic trackpad with Force Touch.
It's not magic, guys. It's just hardware.
Alrighty, well, definitely go out to the Apple stores and check out those watches and
yeah, Force Touch.
I think we should talk about Skill of the Month now.
Are you done with me making fun of your Apple products?
Yes.
Okay. I was really enjoying saying, oh boy!
Alright, so Skill of the Month. Tim is still in first place with 6.8 million XP gained.
Oh man, what a surprise. Tim is winning Skill of the Month? Oh, but he might have competition.
Yes. Blatherskite is in second with 5.3 million. And third place is Dave with 3 million XP gained.
And what is this? Agility? Ooh, Dave's been known to make comebacks, isn't he?
Yep.
Has he done that before? I think he has. Watch out for Dave there, Tim. He'll get you.
Yeah. And if he finds out where you live, he'll give you a karate chop. But okay.
What?
I'm pretty sure I was told once that Dave did martial arts at Once Upon a Time.
At Once Upon a Time? All right.
Yes.
I'll let you have that. Okay.
Achievements of the week.
Exciting. All right, so the RR Man got 99 crafting on March 6th, 2015. Tyler got 99 thieving on March 7th, 2015. And Davo338 got 99 farming on March 12th, 2015.
Good job, everyone. And Dave, welcome to the club.
All right, so pick of the week.
I believe that's up to you.
It is indeed. Mine is iDarb. So iDarb is a game on the Xbox One, and it was free. I don't know if it's free this month or last month or whatever with Games with Gold, but it's definitely one of the most interesting games I've ever played. But the biggest thing that I think is really cool about it is it has Twitter integration.
I'm interested.
So it's a multiplayer game, and it's like, I'll link you to the video. We can put that in there too. But it's just, I mean, the game itself, the concept is really simple. It's just there are two little goals on the side, and you're jumping around and trying to get that. And you can get more points from the farther away you shoot it, and if it bounces off stuff, that adds multipliers. But it'll change, and you can do an at... I don't remember what the full at is, but it's at iDarb Wire, I think. And every game has a little unique code generated for it. So you just tweet at iDarb Wire with that hashtag. And then I think there are certain words you can say, like you can say Rickroll. And Rick Astley will appear on screen, and, like, the song will play. It's...
Okay.
We only played it for a few minutes, but just this whole concept is fascinating to me.
It is. I mean...
I mean, just the Twitter integration itself is something that made me want to learn more.
I always thought something like that could happen with Twitter, and I'm glad someone's done that.
Yeah, I mean, like, and at the bottom of every game, it shows a live feed of people tweeting about iDarb. Like, there's just a little, like, you know, at the bottom of, say, CNN or something, it's got that thing at the bottom. What's that called?
Ticker.
Ticker. Yeah, it has that at the bottom of people tweeting about iDarb live. So,
oh, yeah. It's actually at the top.
Huh?
It's actually at the top on this video here, but okay.
Oh, really?
Huh. Yeah, it is.
I don't know.
Interesting.
It's even if you don't have an Xbox One, I would still recommend checking it out because it's very, very interesting. And apparently it started out just as a picture of a red box, and they asked Twitter what they should do with that red box, and somehow the game came out of that. I don't really know the background of this game. I know that the Xbox One subreddit has been crazy about it for a while. You can't do that as good as I can.
I know. It was free for February for Games with Gold.
Yeah.
A little bit too late.
How much is it now?
$14.99.
Okay. Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Alrighty. Sounds good. What are our Games of Gold for March, by the way?
Shit. I own them.
I need to get a feed with that, but we'll talk about that later.
Have you not been getting them?
I got one of them. I got the Worms one,
and
I forgot.
Shit. BioShock Infinite is free the second half of this month on 360.
Oh, interesting.
Damn.
I know that's a pretty good FPS, right?
I don't know how to describe it. I think it's more of an RPG.
Yeah.
It's a first-person shooter. All right, sure. This month is Rayman Legends.
No idea what that is. But anyway,
I don't either. I downloaded it and we played it a little bit. But
what have you been up to?
Oh, shit. What have I been up to? Well, this week has been spring break, so I came home. First time this semester. I went to go see a Nashville Predators game Saturday night, which is a lot of fun. They lost, but still, we lost, but it was still a lot of fun. And Sunday, I think I just slept. Monday, I went and visited my cousin at her university and looked around. That was a lot of fun. Tuesday night, nothing except PC gaming. Wednesday, I went out to dinner with my best friend back home and back here at home, and we came over afterwards, and this is when he showed me iDarb and stuff. Then Thursday, yesterday, I went back to my high school and saw all my friends and teachers and stuff. Got to visit them. That was good.
That's good.
And then today, I slept really late. Went out to dinner with my parents and I went to go pick up those CDs I was talking about, and then now I'm recording the podcast.
CDs? What a foreign thing. No, I'm just kidding. If I listen to music, I'd get them on CD.
I use CDs all the time.
Yeah, if I listen to music, I would be an audiophile.
I also have a record player in my room.
Oh, good.
Yeah, old-fashioned.
Yeah, teleport you right to the 1940s.
Yay!
Alrighty, well, anything on RS?
Not much. Slayer, as usual.
Okie dokie then. Well, as for me this week, you guys might have noticed that RSBNB was kind of on the fritz today, but
fingers crossed. I never really asked you what happened.
I'll tell you what happened
with RSBNB.
Well, basically, we appear to be having some kind of hardware issue, perhaps, with the server. I'll go into more details later, since you probably care about that and our listeners don't. But it should be up and whatnot, accessible for the foreseeable future. If it's not, message me frantically on Skype if I don't notice it. But in addition to that, on RS, just, you know, did the...
Remember, not all of the listeners would have you on Skype.
Well, I'm referring to the one Magic King who messaged me today and frantically.
Oh, okay. Well, if you listen to the show and you have Shane on Skype and the site goes down, message him frantically. What about the alternatives? What if they don't have you on Skype? What can they do to help?
There's nothing really that can be done in that case. Most times when the site goes down, I find out about it within the 5 to 10 minutes because we have monitoring set up for it. So, but nothing has been done for a good number of hours or you haven't heard updates, that is when you can message.
Yeah.
On RS this week, I did a bunch of potion making. I restocked up on overloads, ready to go fight the Queen Black Dragon, and set some new records there.
Woo.
And rebuild the coffers in terms of GP, mainly because, you know, I'm at 500k and I need to farm badly.
I gotta farm, guys. Gotta farm.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh. And as I mentioned, I also do have some stuff coming for Informer relating to Force Touch and whatnot.
So good
fun to play with and explain why it's going to revolutionize the future of interaction. It is indeed. I mean, you should really have a watch of the Johnny Ive narrated video about the new MacBook.
I am not walking in to that reality distortion field, Shane.
Well, with that being said, I also completed the memory, I believe, on ports, so I'm working on the other two, and hopefully we'll get those level 85 ones sooner rather than later.
Yay!
One last thing. I'm finished.
I do need to plug our weekly PC gaming event. If you'd like to check that out, just head on over to the forums and take a look at that. It is under the gaming sub forum, and the ever lovely Shane here will put a link in the show notes as well.
Alrighty.
But we play Team Fortress 2, Counter-Strike Global Offensive, Half-Life 2 Deathmatch, or Garry's Mod every week. And Shane is not fond of Half-Life 2 Deathmatch and Garry's Mod because we have taken various sound effects of him. Just his various... No! And stuff like that. And we have it so that if you type that in the chat, it will play those sounds. And it's hilarious. But, of course, Shane's no fun and doesn't like that, so...
I have no choice.
Mm-mm. You really don't. Mm-mm. Woe is you.
Well, with that being said, hopefully you guys have enjoyed this podcast. If you guys want to ask us a question...
I'm on it. So.
Yes, of course. That's it. Ask is at update.rsbnb.com/ask. Or if you want to subscribe on iTunes, if you have not done that already, update.rsbnb.com/iTunes, and you'll be propelled forward to the iTunes page where you can subscribe and increase our rating on there ahead of all the other dead podcasts.
Now, and one more thing. RSBNB Starving Artists Fund exists.
What the heck is that?
What is it? RSBNB.com/donate?
Support.
Support. rsbnb.com/support. You should make it /donate, too, because that's nice.
Yeah, I can make that happen.
But yeah, if you guys would like to make a donation to us, it's there. You're better at advertising that. You can talk about that more if you want.
No, it's okay. We talked about that.
Did I do a good job?
Yeah, you did.
Do I get a cookie? Do I get fed?
Yes.
Damn.
Anyways, thank you for listening, everyone. We appreciate it, and we'll see you next time.
Bye, everyone.